Now would you turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 28. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 28. The book of Proverbs is a fascinating book, often a practical book. Lots of good advice for living in the book of Proverbs. But I want to focus on chapter 22, verse 28, which says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. During this lockdown time, we are encouraged to take daily exercise, which I do. I go out when I can for a good walk. And sometimes before I go out, or even I take with me an ordnance survey map. And if you look at an ordnance survey map very closely, you will find in certain places, often on the top of hills, a very small blue triangle on the ordnance survey map. That little triangle is a tribulation post, or a trig point, as they were called. They were used by ordnance survey in the old days when they were actually making the maps, take measurements. They're not used now because it's all done by satellite, and these tribulation points, which are a concrete post about maybe four or five feet high and about this wide. You'll find them on the top of the South Downs in different places. You'll find one up at Ditchland Beacon. You'll find one up at Devil's Dyke and so on. And they're still there, but they're not in use anymore. They were a landmark used by the makers of the maps. Often they were a landmark used by people who were out walking, who were using the map. Now in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 27, we are told about a post or a pillar that was to be set up. "Thou shalt set up three great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So they built these posts and they put plaster on them. Today we would use what we call cement. I guess it's much the same. They would use plaster to make these posts, these landmarks. And in Bible times, these fixed stones were often a dividing line between land areas in the Old Testament days, and also a dividing line between properties. Now, a landmark today can mean all sorts of things, can't it? It might be a big monument on a hill that is a landmark. When you go to Lewis, above Lewis is the Protestant Martyrs Memorial, erected in 1901, which is a landmark above the town. And there's an annual meeting there to commemorate the Protestant martyrs. And no doubt some of you know all about that. Also, a landmark can be an important event in history. For instance, in the Second World War, the evacuation at Dunkirk was a landmark event in the Second World War. We could say that Brexit, that has finally taken place, is a landmark event in the history of this country. Now, there are all sorts of spiritual landmarks and important landmarks in society today. Our society in this country is built upon the Judeo-Christian heritage. Our society is built to a certain extent on the law of God, on the Ten Commandments. Now, we're not under the law, we're under grace now, but that doesn't mean to say the Ten Commandments are not important. So many crimes that are committed in this country are simply people who have disobeyed the Ten Commandments. Now, this country of ours was once a great nation. It was once, we could safely say, a Christian nation, but it's not any longer. We have gone away from God, we have forsaken him, we have turned away from him. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." God blessed our nation, I believe, because we were a Christian nation. Our lives and laws were based upon the Word of God. But today, sadly, things are very different. So the Ten Commandments, I want to look at just three or four landmarks in society today. And the first, of course, is the Ten Commandments. Now, when I was at school, when I was in secondary school in 1958, I remember religious education lessons. We had our Bibles. We had them open before us, and I can remember my RE teacher teaching us the Ten Commandments in school. That doesn't happen today. They're taught all sorts of things today in the schools under the guise of religious education. It's a very badly taught subject. They're taught multi-faith. They're taught about other religions and so on. I'm not saying you shouldn't know about what other religions believe, but that is, they're not teaching the Christian faith in our schools today. In the United States, an atheist called Madeleine Murray O'Hare went to the Supreme Court in the United States, and the court agreed to the removal of the Lord's Prayer and Bible reading in public schools in the United States. Today in the United States, you even have children going into schools with guns and knives. God's Word has been laid aside. That great landmark of the Ten Commandments has been laid aside. We often hear on the news, don't we, of horrific murders that are taking place in our country, even done by teenagers. We've had cases lately of teenagers murdering other teenagers. They've no concept, and we'll come on to another landmark in a moment, but they've no concept of the sanctity of life. Sunday schools have sadly declined in our country. As we have declined spiritually in this land, so Sunday schools have declined. In 1953, 55% of children in this land went to Sunday school. 55%. Now it is less than 5% attend Sunday school. Jaira Chapel in Lewis, which is rather similar to yours, it's got a gallery, in 1920 had 600 children in the Sunday school. Can you imagine that? One chapel, one town, 600 children. How we have gone away from God. We must teach our young people the laws of God, the Ten Commandments. These are vital landmarks in our society. Another landmark that is under attack today is the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life. The laws have been changed. Abortion is allowed in many cases today. Even home abortions were allowed during the pandemic. I'm not quite sure what the situation is on that now. But life is a very important and sacred thing. And so our nation has become hardened then to pro-life. People who have been pro-life have been told they can't pray outside abortion clinics and things like that. God is the giver of life. Life is sacred. and the unborn baby is a sacred object. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. And we are indeed, the human body is an amazing mechanism. Your brain is more efficient than any computer or tablet that you might have at home. The human body is an amazing structure, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet the landmark of the sanctity of life is under attack as never before. A third landmark that is under attack today is the landmark of marriage in society. In Genesis chapter 2, we have the first ever marriage. Marriage is ordained of God, was created by God, Genesis 2, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There we have the first ever marriage. Today that institution is under attack. Many live together without being married, and sadly, men have been allowed to marry men. That is an abomination to the Lord. It is contrary to the word of God. It makes difficulties for Christian registrars and so on. This is the situation in which we live. If I was to go down on Eastbourne seafront and preach the gospel and say that same-sex marriage is wrong, I would probably be arrested and taken to the police station. That is what is happening in Britain today. That is what has happened in Britain today. I couldn't necessarily even preach this sermon in some churches today, as I would be thought out of date or old-fashioned and so on. Marriage is such an important thing. In 1 Corinthians 7, we won't go into all this in detail, but in 1 Corinthians 7 we have Paul's teaching on marriage. He says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband, and so on and so forth. And of course, Paul wasn't married. He says, I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So if you're not married today, or you're a widower, or you're a widow, you have a very important place in God's eyes, and you have things and work that you can do for him. And then Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 7 and so on to talk about marriage, talk about unmarried men and women and so on. And then of course we have that verse in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but warmongers and adulterers God will judge. So that's the situation we find ourselves today. We have legalised sin in this country, and we wonder why God has sent a pestilence upon us and upon this world today. Fourthly, another landmark that is badly eroded today is the Lord's Day itself. I remember going back 40 years, even unbelievers kept Sunday. They may not have attended church, but there was very little, but only essential work was ever done on a Sunday. There was no sport. There was no football. There was no racing. It was a quiet day. People used it as a day to rest and be with their families and so on. But largely today, because we've passed legislation allowing Sunday trading to a certain extent, the day is eroded. Well, people say, well, you shouldn't legislate against you shouldn't legislate for unbelievers and so on. But I think this day is so important. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yes, the day has changed to the Lord's day. We don't keep the Saturday Sabbath. But the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It can be a day of blessing for the Christian. It's a day of worship. It should be a day we look forward to. Do you look forward to Sundays? Do you look forward to the Lord's Day? Do you pray for the preacher and the service on the following Lord's Day? At the start of the pandemic, Boris Johnson was wanting to completely deregulate Sunday trading in order to boost the economy. They wouldn't have done anything like that. Fortunately, some Conservative and Labour MPs persuaded him out of it, and he didn't do it. We could have lost completely the Lord's Day had that had taken place. Luther said, "Give the devil an inch, and he will take a mile." How true that is. I'm reminded of those words in Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I, John, also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Are we in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Do we look forward to the Lord's Day? And do we seek the Lord on that day? Lastly, the greatest landmark of all, and that is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three crosses that were put up on Calvary, thieves either side of Jesus, Jesus there in the middle, the greatest landmark that there has ever been. Philippians chapter 2 says this: Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Oh, what a wonderful verse that is. But it's a landmark that Satan hates. He hates the cross of Christ. In China, the government has taken down crosses, literally, from churches, both outside and in, and said, instead of that, you must have a picture of the president of the Chinese Communist Party in your church, because they hate the cross, because the cross is a powerful landmark. For the unbeliever, they just don't understand what the cross is all about. It means nothing to them, does it? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. To the unbeliever, to the worldly person, the cross is of no importance. It's foolishness to them. But to us, it has so much meaning. It's Jesus who died for us to pay the price for our sin upon the cross. It's a landmark that will never be removed. But Christ didn't stay on that cross. He rose from the dead on that third day. And he ascended into heaven. And one day he's coming again in power and great glory. The old hymn says, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it is there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. May we indeed restore those ancient landmarks that our fathers have set. May we pray for the restoration in our society today of those important landmarks that God has given to us. Well, may God bless this to us. Amen.